What's going on, beautiful people? Welcome to the Right State of Mind podcast. It's your host, Charlie, back with another episode. Got my man, Ansley, here on the ones and twos. What's up, my man?
Not a whole lot, Charlie. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. Ready to get into another episode. A little excited because we have a special guest this episode. Somebody I've been trying to get on this podcast for a while, and I finally got him. I got him on here. So I want to introduce a good friend of mine, Dentavious Barber, also a therapist here in the Charlotte area. Dentavious, how you doing, man?
Doing great, Charlie, man. How about yourself?
Pretty, pretty good. Excited to have you on here, ready to share some of your wealth and knowledge with the beautiful Right State of Mind family. So as I told you off air, I will let you introduce yourself because I know I would probably mess it up. So I'm going to let you introduce yourself to the people.
Awesome. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Dentavious Barber. I'm a licensed clinician in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I'm the owner and operator of Barber Counseling and Consulting Group, where we serve mental health population for adolescents, adults, and even children.
Yeah, man. So funny story. This is like the second time this has happened. So Dentavious was actually my boss back in the day. We worked at a treatment center together, and he was my boss. And this is one of the most, like, this is one of the therapists that I have the most respect for. And I'm not just saying that because you're on the podcast. I truly mean that. I have seen your work up close and personal. Really have a lot of respect for what you do. So I'm excited to have you on the pod.
Glad to be here, man. I appreciate that.
So, you know, today's topic is going to be a little bit heavier than our usual topics, but it's an important one that I think I find it super interesting. I think it's a super important thing to talk about for some people. And I'm curious to see your point of view as well. So generational trauma is the topic that we are going to talk about on this episode. So I will start at the very beginning for you. When you hear that term, like, what does that term mean for you? What is the way that you define that? Generational trauma.
So we talk about generational trauma here, Charles. Like you said, it's a very deep-rooted, you know, thing that we have going on. And so we talk about generations from one generation to the next. It's passing down. And the traumatic experiences that one generation can pass down to the next generation is what comes together as that generational trauma. And that can continue to be a cycle as long as that is passed down from the next generation to the next generation. And these traumas can be an array of things. It can be personal experience. It can be vicarious trauma, which is secondary trauma, with things that we can witness. All those things make up the traumatic experience and the stressors that one person can pass down from one generation to the next.
Yes, for sure. You know, one of the interesting things that I always think of when it comes to this topic is, you know, it's funny how there's so many people that experience this, but they're not aware of it. You know, like they go through it, but they're not aware just because it's so normal to them. Like, this is our normal everyday life, or this is our normal family dynamic. Like, whenever you work with clients with that, is that something that is a common thing that comes up?
Absolutely. And like you say, it's a common thing that a lot of individuals are not even aware of until they talk about, like, some of the things that trigger them. And it's kind of like, I don't even know where that come from. And then once we kind of do a deep dive into, like, their history in their family makeup and some of the things that their family have experienced, that's when we see where this could be generational trauma that's passed down from one person to the next. Yeah. So we do see it a lot in our office.
Got you. And what are the common examples that you see when it comes to it? Like, are there some that are very common or not?
I mean, it all depends on who that person is, of course. So there are very common, like, for African-American community, you know, that's something that goes date back to slavery time and, you know, the things that we went through in the Jim Crow days, you know, and we still can see some of that today, you know, just like with the Black Lives Matter movement. And it was huge, you know, which was a good example of how generational trauma can be passed down, you know, from years that individual may experience and don't recognize until that is triggered again. It's kind of like, what are we doing here? And why am I experiencing these different emotions? And it goes back to that generational trauma that's passed down.
Yeah. And kind of like what I just said, when we worked in the treatment center, that is kind of where I saw it a lot with, like, in a family history of substance abuse, whether it's drinking or drugs. I think that was a really a common one that I saw up close and personal early in my career as a therapist.
Absolutely. Yeah. And even another example of if someone's, you know, family grew up in, you know, severe poverty, you know, that's a generational trauma that's passed down from one generation to the next until that cycle is broken. So we do see, like you say, in the substance abuse field, it's one thing to the next. Like, you know, is passed down. And we also got to factor in the biological factor with the chemical imbalance and the addiction piece of it. That can be definitely biological and generational trauma at the same time.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, one of the things that I always saw that was interesting, you know, when somebody used to enter treatment and they would get around mm-hmm. other people, and then like, mm-hmm. you know, you get around other people and you start talking to a therapist, and that's when you can realize like, wow, maybe this environment that I grew up in, maybe it wasn't so normal the way I thought it was when I was younger. So
absolutely.
My question for you is, how does a person kind of improve with the self-awareness piece? Like, just to be aware that maybe this environment I grew up in maybe wasn't the healthiest, and maybe some things I need to change moving forward.
Right. I think it would have to take that individual to be first willing and give themselves permission to become aware of what that generational trauma have looked like for them. You know, that goes to that person's initial step to say, hey, I understand this is an issue for me. And now I'm giving myself permission to open up this door to become more aware of these generational trauma that I'm holding on to that I can change if I, one, enter treatment, and if I'm open enough to be willing to make the necessary changes to break that cycle.
Yeah, 100% agree. That is so important for me, like, just to be aware, because it's kind of exactly what I said earlier. There's so many people, I think, that mm-hmm. are going through this and they're not even aware. It's a normal environment. Yeah,
absolutely. Yep. And one of those things when we see individuals who have this generational trauma, you know, a lot of the symptoms like is mistrust. You have anxiety, all those things to kind of factor in. So if I already don't trust the system that has created this, you know, generational trauma for me, then how do I allow myself to start to be open enough to become aware? Because it can be scary to kind of open that door up for some individuals. And that fear alone can prevent them from even opening up that door to process it and deal with it and heal from it.
Yeah, for sure. And that kind of leads me to my next point of like, you know, mm-hmm. once the person is aware, which I'm hoping this episode can help some people, just because, like, if a person wants to break that cycle, you first have to be aware and kind of understand a little bit of what's going mm-hmm. on. So, like, some of the yep. steps that a person can take to kind of start to break that cycle, what would you say some of those steps are?
Well, I think a person would have to, one, be honest with self about the behaviors and the pattern of behaviors. Two, understanding what generational trauma is like, you know, and even two, like when we talk about trauma, it's such a broad spectrum. You know, individuals might say, no, I don't have traumas. And we see it all the time in our office when we do an assessment. You say, is there any history of trauma? And the first mm-hmm. response would be, no, there is no history of trauma. Until we go into a little, you know, descriptive of what trauma is and what that may look like. And it could be very different for everybody. Because when we talk about trauma, the first thing we're thinking about is war or physical or sexual abuse. And it's kind of like, well, no, it don't necessarily all need to be from there. It can be a dislocation of a group of population of people. It can be racism. It can be sexism. Mm-hmm. All of that could, you know, relate to trauma. So a person has to understand what trauma is for themselves and understand that it's okay that we may have experienced some traumatic, you know, events in our life, but it's okay for us to give ourselves permission to heal from it as well. So that's that first step of becoming aware of what the trauma is. And then being open enough to address it. Because once again, it creates fear. And when you open that door up, it opens up all those emotions. And we know we don't like to deal with emotions all the time because it's scary for some people. So that alone can shut that person down from actually healing from their trauma. So you have to be open and ready to process it.
Yeah, for sure. I'm sitting here laughing because that literally happens in the first session almost every single time. When you ask a person that, do you have any experience with trauma? Do you have any history of trauma? And almost 99 times out of 10, they either say no or like, what do you mean by trauma? What does that mean?
What do you mean by trauma? Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, and the thing I always say is a good place to look and start is any event or thing that has happened to you that had a strong emotional impact on you. Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of where I usually will start and help a person think of maybe some events or things, because I think it depends on the person, you know, different things, absolutely. they impact people in different ways. You know, like, you know, we could go through the same event, but it impacts you very differently than it impacted me. Mm-hmm. So it's like,
absolutely.
I always think those are good places to start and look with that. So, yeah. And with this topic, I mean, it's a difficult thing. So I always say a good place to start breaking the cycle is getting the right help. Like, I think this would be a hard thing to do on your own. It'd be a hard thing to break that cycle just with the way that you think it should be broken. I think it's helpful to get help, but the right kind of help. I say that very intentionally, the right kind of help, because, you know, not everybody is equipped to deal with this. Not every therapist either. You know, there, and I'm every therapist will tell you, like, every therapist has their niches. So not every therapist, they specialize in trauma. Like, I'm not a trauma therapist, but, you know, finding the right person to help you with this, whether it's a support group, whether it's the right therapist. So I also think that too, because like I said, I think it's a difficult thing to try to break, you know, that cycle on your own. But, you know,
yeah,
we have some strong headed people in this world. So you know how that is.
Yeah. And you're right, Charlie. And you mentioned it. I'm just kind of thinking about, you know, what we used to see at the substance abuse facility that we worked at. You know, a lot of individuals who had trauma also had the co-occurring addiction along with that. You know, it's like, you know, and they masked the trauma with the substance use, which created that addiction for them because it was never dealt with.
You know, that point is very, very important, because the reason us as a therapist, like, we can kind of see it. It's kind of a little obvious when somebody is struggling with something, anything like that. Mm-hmm. What are some of the impacts that you see that this experience has on people? You know, whether it's a mental health thing, anything like a physical. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. One, we already discussed the possibility that it could be someone could mask their emotions related to the trauma with a substance use, you know, and intentionally they're not intentionally saying, hey, I want to create this addiction for myself. Mm-hmm. It's like, I want to heal from this pain. I want to mask this pain. So it can create a substance use issue. It creates a lot of anxiety for some individuals, depression. And trauma can also manifest into physical symptoms where there's chronic pain, there's a lot of fatigue. It can create like eating disorders, insomnia, low self-esteem, fear of death, irritability, anger, difficulty trusting individuals. So it's a list of things, and it's all individualized, like you mentioned earlier, Charlie, of how this can impact someone. So when we start to notice we're acting different, if family members notice and things are changing around us, we have to be aware of those things. And we have to make sure that we are being intentional about addressing them as well.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm sitting here laughing because I'm assuming like there's going to be some people that are listening to this and then they start trying to diagnose and question all this stuff about
self-diagnosing.
Yeah. And you know, that happens
that's
all
okay.
the time.
It's a great self-inventory. Yeah. So if you notice some stuff that I need to address that and seek help. Absolutely.
I'm telling you, and then if I'm being honest, that's pretty much the point of the episode. Just because, like, to improve in this area, I think it kind of takes that. Like, you have to take a step back and somewhat be aware. Because again, we see it all the time. We see it all the time. Mm-hmm. I see it. You know, I see it in with the clients I've worked with over the years, and now, but I also see it in my personal life too. Like, we talk about family. Yes. You know, I've seen it in family members, and you know now. I remember when I got into therapy, I always laugh just because, you know, when you're growing up, you see and hear things that sound normal. They sound normal, and they sound like, you know, that's the way to go about this particular situation because that's what I was taught. You know, with me going off to school and getting into the field of mental health, you know, it didn't take long for me to go, you know, I heard that for the majority of my life, but I don't know how right that is. I don't know how correct that is. You know, like, you start seeing stuff once you become more educated on topics and events. So I always think, like, the more you can educate yourself on anything that you may have a question about or anything that you're struggling with, I think that's really important because that's how you got to change it. You know, if you don't really see a problem with something or you ignore it, it's not really likely that you're going to improve or change the situation. So
that is true. And that's amazing, Charlie, what you just said, too, because, you know, if a person is not aware of that and ready to make those changes, like you say, we were exposed to stuff in our, you know, upcoming that we thought was just normal, you know, until we become aware of it. It's kind of like that may not have been so normal, but we normalize it for ourselves and it's not an issue, but we could be suffering and not even realize that.
Yep. 100%.
Or we react into situations with other people. And we may look at that reaction as okay or normal, but in the eyes of other people, it's like, that is not normal.
Yep. That happens all the time. It happens way too often, in my opinion. You know.
Absolutely.
So, That's why I think therapists, like, that's the beauty for me as a therapist. That's the beauty that allows a therapist or a third party to kind of do their job. Not even third party, just somebody you're talking to, just because we have the ability to look at it from an objective opinion. Like, I don't have any emotions in the situation, and I can look at it from a different lens versus, I always say, even though I am a therapist, if I was in it and I had some emotions into it, I probably wouldn't see it the same versus if I can kind of take a step back. I can look at it from an objective opinion. So that's why I think it's so important to get the right help, because, you know, when you kind of just going on your own understanding, that can kind of lead you down the wrong path sometimes.
Absolutely. And think about how many people we see in our office that come in and be like, how long have you been dealing with this? And they say, hey, if you look at it, 15, 20 years, you know, that I've been dealing with this and it has not been addressed, and this is why I'm at this point now where I need to seek help for it. Yeah. So platforms like this, such as you're having today, is amazing. I think it needs to happen more often, and a lot of different other platforms as well, like in community centers, places where it'd be easy accessible for some people. And I love the fact that mental health has been on the front of, you know, conversations in nowadays because of what is happening in society.
For sure. That is something that I think is a beautiful thing today, because there are some people who I've seen, or I would imagine, you know, if you're going through a trauma or like something with your family, a generational thing, some people aren't so open or willing to talk about that in front of other people, because, you know, for instance, you know, growing up the way that I grew up, a lot of times in our culture, it's the mindset of what happens here stays here. What happens in this house stays in this house. We ain't gonna talk about that to outside people and all this and that. Mama, don't get mad at me. I'm just saying that you know,
that's true.
what happens in this house stays in this house. And I think that's common across the board in our culture. So I think now that it's so open and is not necessarily a thing to be ashamed of, I think is helpful, because it's more likely that people will talk about it and seek the help that they need.
Absolutely. And that's a perfect illustration of generational trauma. You know, and so have I heard the same thing. We don't talk about this. We pray about it. We push it under the rug in our culture. And it's like, when we have that mindset and it's never changed, then we pass that same generational trauma down to that next generation because of those core beliefs that we kind of govern ourselves around until we have different exposure, like you mentioned earlier, Charlie, when we go off to college and we get different exposure, we kind of can see different things differently and change the perspective of stuff, you know. But if we never change that, then we pass that generational trauma down to the next generation.
100%. And like the same thing as our culture. You know, one of the issues that I have found myself working with clients on more now is, you know, men's issues. And, how many men were taught to mask your emotions? Like, you could be going through something very emotional as a kid, just in the household, and you're taught to never talk about it. You're never gonna
talk about it.
You gotta hold that in and be a man and suck it up. And that just kind of filters down through the next generation to all the men are, like, taught that. That's why I always love it. Like, when I meet a male client, it's very obvious to me. Not a lot will come in as an open book. As an open book, they kind of start off very, very guarded. It's something like that. But as you get to know them and you start to feel a little more comfortable, that wall kind of comes down. And I think that's so important, because I always think, like, that's a heavy weight to always walk around and have these emotions that you're feeling, but not feel comfortable enough to talk about it. And that filters through generations when it comes to men.
Absolutely. And just think about how that impacts the relationship that the male is in, because I don't know how to, one, connect with emotions, because I've been told to just block them out and never express them. And that can also impact an intimate relationship, because I'm not being able to express myself, one, and I'm also not being able to connect with the needs of my significant other as well from an emotional standpoint, because it blocks you from being able to connect with emotions and definitely not allowing you to express them like we should.
There you go. Exactly. So, men, if you're listening, get your you-know-what in therapy and talk, man.
Because if you're having issues in your relationship and your woman is saying, you're not meeting my emotional needs, we have to be able to meet those emotional needs as well.
I'll tell you. Hey, listen, you know how many women are going to be listening to this, and they're going to say this timestamp. And they're going to say, listen, you need to listen to this right here. You heard what
get
they said?
Get your buddies some therapy.
I'll tell you.
But I do see a lot of more male clients that are coming in and talking about, my wife is saying I'm not emotionally connected to her and I'm not figuring out, like, why am I not? And it's like, wow, you know, you tell me why you're not and haven't been able to emotionally connect with your significant other.
Yep. And this, you know, that is something that I hear all the time as well. And I always laugh. I know it's not funny, but I'm like, it's so crazy to me how many times that happens. It happens so often when it comes to me. I always tell, like, my female clients, if they're struggling, I'm like, you know, most men were never taught the right way to kind of express their emotions. Most men were taught to bottle it up. So that's why a lot of times they're so used to doing that and they continue to do that. So, like, it's so funny to me. It happens all the time. So I think it's important
all the time
to kind of break that cycle. And, you know, now, you know, it's 2024 and I think it's so crazy. You know, when I first got into private practice, you know, when I switched from agency to private practice, that was 2020, right around COVID. And there were so many times where I would look at the people that I'm seeing, it was 90% women all the time. Like, I felt like I was talking to women every day. But now it's more men. And I think, like, that's not a coincidence. I think that's very intentional. I think this more and more men are feeling more comfortable. So I think it's a beautiful thing. Absolutely. And we got to keep it up.
Yeah. I agree, Charles. And I think that we have to even advocate for that space for ourselves as well. Like, women have been doing this for years. They advocate for that. They make space for them to be vulnerable and be able to express themselves. So I do think it's now time for us men, because we do have challenges with things in life, that we have to have that space to process it. And then we have to give ourselves permission also to be vulnerable. And vulnerable doesn't mean that I'm losing my masculinity. It's a matter of saying, like, I can be vulnerable and still be masculine at the same time.
For sure. For sure. And, you know, we got another male on here, so I would be curious to get his kind of perspective on this. Not necessarily being in the mental health field, but I'll ask you, Angela, is that something that you've seen a change in too? Like, men, when it comes to mental health and talking about their feelings?
I think I've definitely seen an improvement over the last few years. Like, people are getting more and more comfortable saying, hey, I'm not okay. I'm not broken, but somebody please help me, because I don't have the education to figure out what's going on.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, with you saying, I even think about now, like, everybody who knows me personally know I'm a big sports guy. And I even hear it a lot on, like, sports podcasts and shows in the ads where they'll go, you know, better help, or, like, they'll say something about a therapy and things like that. And I think that's important, because that was not always the case. That was not always the case when you listen to sports and stuff and people are talking about therapy. So I think you are 100% right, that I think it's more of a common thing now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you brought up a good point too, Andrew, about not being broken. And it's okay to be not okay. And it doesn't mean that I'm broken, but I need some support here so I can process what these emotions are and where they're coming from. And how do I keep myself regulated? Because I do think sometimes when we say, wow, I'm an emotional man, it almost seems like I'm a broken or damaged man. And that's not true.
Yep. You know, and it's so funny, because that's what a lot of people were raised to think. It's a weak thing to talk about. It's a weak thing to talk about your emotions and get emotional about a situation. You know, we don't do that. So, we got to change. We got to change that stigma, because we're going to have some.
Yes, absolutely. Break the stigma.
Yeah, man. We're going to have some damaged men walking around here. So we got to stop that.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, I feel like this is one of those topics, you know, we can probably do a couple hours with this topic. So. But as always, promise I don't want to hold anybody for too long. So, Dentavious, I'll ask you, you know, final thoughts. Any final thoughts on, you know, where people can start that healing process when it comes to generational trauma? Any final thoughts or advice with that?
Absolutely. So one of those things, just understanding what is trauma, what is generational trauma. And I'm just going to kind of go over some of the things that causes generational trauma. When we look at, like, oppression, when it's kind of like cultural dislocation. And once we discuss, like, the poverty piece of it, lack of opportunities, and even sometimes when we are in utero, that can also create trauma for us in our mother's womb. So that can also play out later on in life as well, too. But how do we heal from generational trauma? Being able to identify resources, understanding that it's okay to not be okay, as you mentioned earlier, Andrew, educating yourself about what trauma is, what they look like for ourselves, practicing self-care, connecting with others, and once again, getting into a therapist's office to make sure that you have a safe, healthy place to process the things that you've experienced in life.
Very, very well said. You know, I think it's super important to go and seek the right help to heal from this, because you can heal from this. I know it's, you know, super emotional. Yes. You know, it leaves a strong impact on somebody, but you know, there is help out here. So seeking the right help for this, super important. Dentavious, I just want to thank you so much, man, for coming on and sharing your wisdom, sharing your expertise. I cannot thank you enough. The Right State of Mind family, happy to have you. Hopefully this won't be the last time that we have you on the podcast.
I appreciate you as well, brother. Absolutely not. I appreciate you welcoming me and inviting me on, and absolutely will not be the first time. Anytime you send me an invite, I'll be here.
I appreciate that. Y'all heard it.
Absolutely.
We're gonna hold him to that. We're going to hold him to
that. Right. Everyone heard it.
Yeah, so Right State of Mind family, you know, that's it for this episode, Mr. Ansley. I know you got any final thoughts you want to say to the people before we get out of here?
I just think this was a great episode. It's getting to sit here on the sideline and watch, in my opinion, two experts go at this topic, as a me falling in one of the 9 out of 10, as you would say, Charlie, who doesn't realize if they have or experience your trauma or not. Getting to see you two interact and get that education, and to further, you know, ask the right questions, look for the right resources. It's been a true treat to watch.
I appreciate that, my man. Appreciate that, my man. Because we're trying to help the people out. The Right State of Mind podcast, all about getting that mindset in the right place. So get your mind right, people. Appreciate y'all for listening. As always, Right State of Mind podcast on Instagram, Right State of Mind podcast on TikTok. All your support, rate, review, subscribe. Truly appreciate it. The show is nothing without you guys. Until next time, peace out.